not everybody's supposed to be a manager. You know what I mean? And you're not supposed to be also the next Elon Musk either. Sometimes it's perfectly okay to just be really good at being a really good engineer. There's nothing wrong with that. And you can make really top dollar with that too.
Welcome to the Happy Engineer Podcast, the place where we help engineers to build your career, balance your life, and be happy. My name is Zach White, a former engineer now turned CEO, lifestyle engineering coach, and your host. I believe that success without fulfillment is failure. Join me each week as we bring you an inspiring leader or message to help you enjoy both. Thanks for investing time with me today. Now let's do this. Which of these two kinds of advice sounds more like you? The Stoic philosophy of being content and happy with what you have, to desire what you've already got, or to set 10x goals and strive for expansion and growth, going all out to reach your full potential and purpose in life? Are you more focused on being happy or on your goals? And do you have to choose? The timeless question remains, how can you have both? Well, that's just one of many powerful topics we cover in this conversation. Get ready to be challenged and drawn in to the wisdom of Diego Rebocio, the CEO and founder of Ocean Inc. My mind is blown every time I talk with this guy, and yours will be too. Founded in 2001 to help customers achieve a digital transformation, Diego's team at Ocean is helping major brands like Dole, Volkswagen, and Aetna achieve breakthrough sales and interactions via smarter technology. He is an engineer at heart, but you would never know it sitting around the campfire chatting about life. We cover nuggets of wisdom ranging from why engineering leaders struggle so often with anxiety to the art of saying no at work. Get into the head of an engineering leader who is very happy and very successful by any measure and continues to maintain that balance over the long term. If anything in this conversation triggers a question that you'd like me to answer in a future Q&A episode of the podcast, remember to send it on over. You can shoot me a question or voice memo directly to my email, zach@oasisofcourage.com. That's zach@oasisofcourage.com. I'm really looking forward to those interactive conversations and getting you involved in our community here at The Happy Engineer. All right, let's get going and enjoy an engineering class on happiness. Are you an engineer who is listening because you want to reach the next level, but don't know how to get there? I know exactly how you feel and would love to chat about how to get results. A lot of engineers want help. They want to accelerate their career, but what holds them back is that most of the career coaching services out there are generic and they just want you on the phone to get a commitment and a credit card. That's why on our career clarity calls, we do it a bit differently. We are there to help you gain a deeper sense of clarity on the barriers you're facing so you can choose the right next step for you. It's totally free. There is no commitment, and that call is meant to serve you. And if we're a good fit, we've carved out a limited number of $500 coaching sessions also for free, which we want to give our podcast listeners first. Setting up a career clarity call is easy. Go to careerclaritycall.com. You can grab that link in the show notes or just memorize it, careerclaritycall.com. All you're going to do is click the big orange button, select a time on our calendar that works for you, and my team will begin pouring into your career so you can get to that next level. Chat soon. Diego, it's awesome to see you, man. Thanks for making time to be on the Happy Engineer Podcast. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I want to set the stage, kind of transport back in time about a month ago when you and I were standing in your backyard, beautiful, serene, we have waterfall there trickling, having a cup of coffee at the Abundance Retreat weekend that your amazing wife, Brooke, and Leslie Thornton held. Leslie, who was a guest on our podcast not too long ago. And I was sharing with you some of the things going on in my journey, the growth that I've been experiencing, the personal development, all the challenges that entrepreneurship and being a CEO has brought up in my life, and just kind of unloading to you some of these things. And then was so struck by how you were able to share wisdom nugget after nugget about how the years of growing as an engineer and now CEO of a much larger organization than mine has reshaped the way that you approach life and work and this day-to-day experience that we're all seeking to optimize and maximize as the engineering minds that we have. I would love it if you would just grab back onto that thread and say, like, what are those things that have shifted and changed for you over the years that have had the biggest impact in the way you approach leading as a CEO today versus years ago when you might have been in the shoes of the young engineer, Diego, just trying to figure it all out?
An interesting thing about me is I don't think I'm unique in this, but I think I have a relatively terrible memory. I don't remember exactly what we were talking about. I remember that we were talking. Maybe it's part of the being in the moment thing, right?
Yeah.
And I try not to hold on too much or into those kind of things.
I think it's such a powerful approach to why hanging out with you is so rewarding, that mm-hmm. you're just here with me in the moment, you know, that day in your backyard, not really thinking about anything else, just totally present. And it's added massive value in that discussion, but then just kind of moving on. What's the next thing? So can you describe, how do you stay so present? What trained you or helped you to become that kind of a present individual?
You just learned that you enjoy things more. It just feels better. And you're more likely to do it if it feels good, right? I remember years ago when I was working with one of my first clients in this company, it was basically a one-man band at the time, right? So I was there doing some coding for this client. And I remember just getting just this inner joy that just came to me from just doing what I was doing and doing a good job. Something mm-hmm. about that just felt good. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. I don't know where this comes from. It's a new feeling, but it just shows up on its own. And I think it's that feeling that just little by little stays in there and grows. I don't know, when it comes, it comes.
I love that. So your one-man band starting that business, what year was this?
This is probably 2002, 2003, maybe 2002, okay. I think. Yeah.
So here you are just doing the work and you have this moment, maybe someone would call it a flow state or a deep moment of presence and passion show up. What was that inquiry like? We were like, hey, where'd this come from? Did you actually really chase that? Or was it just kind of, it came and went and then it came again?
Like you say now, flow state or whatever. Those were not words I would have used. I would have been like, oh, that's funny. It just feel good. Like, I wonder, is it something I ate? Is it the coffee that I just had? Is it like, what is it, right? Because it was almost like a little switch just turned on. And I just felt good. And I think it just came from doing what I'm doing and being present while doing it and just doing a good job for a client.
Did you then learn more how to create that feeling more regularly or more frequently? Or like it sounds awesome. Maybe somebody mm-hmm. listening is like, hey, I want that. You know, how do I get that? What would you say? How do you get to that place?
Well, now that I have more of an understanding of this, I know that that's the kind of thing that you can't get by trying to get it, right? Because your logical mind trying to obtain something keeps you away from actually enjoying the things that are in front of you. So I understand it that way now. But back then, no, I wasn't chasing anything. It's just like, oh, okay, this is interesting. And it would just be there from time to time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the closest thing is just if you're doing something you enjoy and you're doing a good job at it, there's a satisfaction in that that builds over time.
So this is a perfect segue back to your backyard then. Mm-hmm. And I do remember the conversation because it was really impactful for me. Mm-hmm. One of the things I was telling you is I've begun to let go of my intensely high pressure relationship with time mm-hmm. and how I always want the bigger goal to come sooner. You know, I'm a very ambitious individual. I'd love to see mm-hmm. my business grow. I'd love to see my clients succeed. And I have historically, especially back in my engineering career days, put massive pressure on myself related to time. And mm-hmm. I described, hey, like I'm starting to learn how to release that pressure more and just show up in the moment and do the work, the harder I try to grab for the result that I want in the future now, the further away it seems to go. And the more I release it and just forget about it, say, that's the direction, but here's what's in front of me, the experience of it feels so much more abundant, feels so much more joyful, and this kind of emotional state that we're all seeking. And so that idea of when you hold it tight or try to figure it out logically, consciously, you block yourself from actually getting there. That's a really counterintuitive thing for engineers, because we spend our time all day like using our minds to figure out problems. How do you approach something that you want without thinking about it and trying, like help us disconnect? What's that journey like?
I've never heard of anyone or any college offering engineering classes for happiness, right? There's no such thing. Like, okay, here we go. Here, you know, you got to have some math background. Maybe you need to know multivariate calculus and linear algebra. And then we're going to be able to, through this math, show you how to get happy, right? It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
So why is it that so many people try to obtain happiness that way? It doesn't make sense. If you look at it that way, it's just silly. When you really think about it, success is a feeling. It's not really so much an accomplishment of A or B. It's not getting what you want, it's wanting what you've got. And maybe it's even more than that. It's just, you know, it's just a feeling, right? And that's why you can't really chase it in an engineering kind of way. I mean, you may be able to accomplish X, Y, or Z. You can save your way into a few million bucks if you want, right? But is that going to make you happy? Well, maybe that's what our logical minds want to believe. They want to believe that by doing certain things, you're going to get certain results, and it's the results that make you happy. But what you want is a feeling, not the actual things. Like if I told you, okay, you want $1 billion. Okay, great. What if I told you that you get $1 billion, but all of your relatives will be dead? Are you going to be happy about that? Right? Well, no. Well, why not? Well, because I want to feel good and have $1 billion. I don't want to feel like crap and have $1 billion. Right? So how about you feel good without $1 billion? Right? Well, your logical mind will say, well, no, that's for losers. Right? But in the end, you do get both if you just balance.
So I want to come back to that statement that in the end, you do get both. But before we do, I think it's appropriate maybe to set the stage a little bit for your journey in terms of engineering and your company and building that. And can you just describe in a few words, you know, from 2002, that one-man band, to today, the growth and the changes and what you do, and now as CEO, just what your company looks like today?
So I came to the US for college, right? Then I got a job in a little consulting company, and you know, that was out of Boston, and I was like the seventh employee. They needed someone to work here in LA in an account. So I came over here, and basically fast forward a few years, that company grew organically like crazy, and it went public, and it made a ton of money. And I had a few stock options that I made a bunch of money, right? At the height of that, you know, it was the internet bubble, and I had all my money. I had cashed in all my stock options and everything, and I became a day trader, and I made a bunch of money with that, right? And I had enough money, so I didn't have to work anymore. Ah. So there I am going to work, and I'm wondering, I'm asking myself, why am I here? Like, do I actually want to do this? And my bosses would want me to go work on accounts that were in trouble. And I was like, I'm sorry, I'm not going to fix that. That's a lawsuit waiting to happen. And indeed, that client did sue the company. But I was like, I'm not working on that, right? And my boss would be all upset. But so eventually that, you know, that company started having layoffs, and I was in the layoffs because obviously my boss wasn't happy with me, right? Sure. And I didn't need a job. So then for a while I soul searched, figuring out, okay, so what do I want to do? And in the meantime, the money that I had, which I thought was safe, went down the tubes, you know, with the internet bubble busting, right?
Oh, wow.
I was pretty heavy leveraged. I traded on margins. So I basically lost everything.
Right?
But, you know, I had enough to start again. And so, and maybe not be able to not work for a couple of years. And so I started Ocean, the company that I'm in now.
This moment that you had where you did literally have enough money that you didn't have to work. A lot of engineering leaders who I meet describe that moment as kind of this dream place to reach. Call it financial freedom, call it whatever you want. They imagine, if I did actually have that kind of money, I would do all these different kinds of things, right? I wouldn't work for this company, or I wouldn't put up with this crap at work. I have not personally been there. Uh-huh. But do you believe, Diego, I mean, is that moment all it's cracked up to be? Or would you say, yeah, that's a really great place, everybody should try to get there? Or I don't know, just from the outside looking in, it's like, ooh, that's a really interesting moment where you literally can do whatever you want. Money's not an object. What's that like?
Well, I mean, I think you're starting with an assumption that is off. Okay, I have news for you in case you already know it. You already make good money. You know?
Yep.
You can't not make good money if you're an engineer, right? It really is, okay, you're maybe comparing yourself to your peers, and maybe there's ones that are doing better and some that start big companies and make a ton of money, right? But at the end of the day, everybody in this business that has some kind of aptitude for it is able to do okay. All those jobs pay well. You can get 9-to-5 jobs that pay well, and you just kind of save, and eventually you retire. So that's something that is in there. The other thing that I learned is, I made a bunch of money, and that was nice. What I noticed is my lifestyle didn't dramatically change. It's just the question of you realize you don't have to work to maintain the lifestyle. So I didn't go out there and, you know, buy a Ferrari, right? I mean, I got myself a nice car, but it wasn't, you know, something of that caliber. And I think most engineers probably would do that, right? You don't need to have a middle-aged crisis and, you know, get 3 Ferraris and get lots of lame friends to be somebody, right?
Yeah.
What I noticed was the biggest shift is that whatever problems I had were magnified, right? So, okay, I wasn't getting along with the person I was with at the time. Those problems became bigger because all of a sudden you have a bigger ego. You think you're on top of the world. You made all this money because you're so smart, right? And all of a sudden, you want to control things a little bit more. That was my issue. But I think whatever problems you had before just become magnified when you have more money, right?
Yeah.
If you're not ready for it, then it's going to be tough.
That's something a lot of people I've spoken with who've achieved high levels of wealth have described. Mm-hmm. Money itself is neutral, but what it does is it has this amplifying effect. You know, whoever you were before you had money is going to just show up in a more acute, bolder way. If you were a total jerk or an idiot beforehand, mm-hmm. you're going to be a bigger jerk after the fact, and likewise these other problems. So I think that's a great reminder to do the work on ourselves now to prepare for that abundance to flow in. So fast forward, we're in the growth stages of now your own business. So you had it all, you lost most of it. You started your company, and just really quick, describe that journey over these last couple of decades.
Well, I mean, it's basically also been a bunch of up and downs, but most of the ups and downs were relationship-wise with me. I had a lot of personal drama to deal with. The company did have some really bad years as well, you know, like 2010, 2011, those were particularly hard.
Can you actually describe just in a couple moments the work that you all do? I know for me as an engineer, everybody wants to kind of understand behind the curtain. So what is the business and who you serve?
So we do basically websites for large companies, right? We specialize in some software that large companies use related to web content management. Normally they find us because of those niches, right? Like when people hear, oh, you do websites, they think, oh, great, I need a website, or, you know, I know a restaurant that needs a website. Can you guys do it?
Right.
It's not that kind of web development. It's really more like big corporate websites, several $100,000 websites, sometimes millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Those customers have very specialized needs, and that's what we're able to service. So we found that niche over time. Like, it wasn't always our niche, but little by little, you find your niche, right? Like when you start a company, you hear in marketing, a bullet works better than a shotgun, right? So you don't want to go all over the place. You want to be specific, but it's hard to find what that specific thing is for a long time, right? Mm-hmm. And now over the years, right, the company is doing great. I have no complaints. I make a good living, and I have happy clients and happy employees.
So then I'm going to come back to what we said before. I got into the quick history of Diego, which was, you said, you know, in the end, we have the object of success, you know, whether that's the car or the house or the bank account balance, whatever that is, the title in our career. And then there's that emotion and experience, the feeling of success. And you made a statement earlier, in the end, when you're mindful of going after what really matters, this state, this feeling, you end up getting both. So tell us what you mean by that.
Well, it's really more than finding that or going after it. It's more realizing that you're able to access that. The way to be the happy engineer is to stop being an engineer when it comes to being happy, right? When you realize that you're able to access that inner peace, joy, it's like it's always in you. It's just that sometimes you don't realize it's there. So, but when you do that and you're able to always access it, you already have what you want. It's almost like having the money to retire, right? Maybe act as if you already have it, fake it till you make it type of thing. So if you could do whatever you wanted right now, what would you be doing? If you could quit your job right now, what would you be doing? What kind of job would you have, right? Mm-hmm. You're going to say you're going to go play the guitar. Okay, that might be nice for a month or two, but after that, what? If you're really an engineer, you're probably going to go do something else that's building stuff. Why? Yes. Because you like building stuff. That's all there is to it.
So I love this because I hear from a lot of people who are burned out and frustrated or stuck. You know, they're in a negative state. They're in a tough place. And you ask that question, you know, what do you really want? And it's like, I just want to go on a vacation. Like I want to sit on the beach and sip Mai Tais. You know, I want to stop working. But in the end, that's really not true at all. We don't want to just sit on a beach and sip Mai Tais for the rest of our life. You know, if you're 35 years old, eventually that gets pretty boring. Like you're engineers for a reason. We like to your point, we love to build stuff. We love the challenge. We love to actually go solve new and novel problems. And for you from the CEO lens, you know, if there was a young engineer or, you know, somebody, maybe they've been engineering for decades, but they just feel that kind of disconnection from the joy and the passion of like, I just love doing engineering. I love building stuff. How would you describe to them that journey of reconnecting to just that place of loving?
I mean, I don't know. It varies by person what their challenge is as to why they are stressed or unhappy, right? But for example, a common one that I saw over the years, both as to in myself and as a manager of engineers, because I did manage engineers before I started the company, right? Mm-hmm. Is learning how to tactfully say no when it's warranted is a really important thing. Whew. And you're doing everyone a service when you do that. Brooke had me watch the other day. I don't know if you've seen this documentary on the Fire Festival. Have you heard about that?
No. I'll check it out.
So it's this festival that these entrepreneurs came up with that was supposed to be like South by Southwest, like the biggest musical thing, right? And it was a total flop because of poor planning, right? Like completely oversold dreams and expectations. And eventually landing with the harsh reality that these people were underfunded. They didn't have enough time. They had terrible logistics and it all freaking collapsed, right? With a bunch of people sitting in an island in the middle of nowhere without being able to even get flights to go back. They rented like villas in this new place and they basically had tents where everybody was fighting for food. That's how bad it was. Okay.
Wow.
It's terrible. So it's actually a good movie to watch because what it teaches you is this, is that saying yes to your boss when it's unrealistic is a sin.
Mm.
Right?
Hold on. Hit the exclamation point on that. Saying now, yes to your boss when it's unreasonable or just the wrong thing to say yes to.
Well, if it's unrealistic, right? Sometimes the answer is just, you just don't know, right? It takes a long time for you to feel confident about your estimates, right? Everybody's always asking an engineer, how long is it going to take to do this, right? And sometimes you just don't know. Or sometimes you can just give a wild guess that you tell them, but it's not reliable. And that might change tomorrow. I might uncover that there is a lot more risk in this than I realized. But this is my guess right now. That's okay to say. But, you know, learning how to say no is really important because it's kind of like the, you know, in the airplane when they say you got to put on your own mask before you put that, help anyone else with them, right? If you don't put on your mask first, then you're going to say yes a lot and no one's going to win. Your boss is going to look terrible to his or her management because they didn't set the right expectation. And it's okay. You'll find out that 99 times out of 100 saying no, it'll be fine.
Yeah.
You know, just everybody needs to know, oh, okay, it's going to take an extra few weeks, months, whatever, right? It is what it is.
One of my clients, we just had a group coaching conversation and he shared a celebration with our group that he had just said no to his boss for the first time. And you know, we all kind of cheered and celebrated. And so I asked, so what happened? And his answer was,
they said, okay,
nothing. Exactly.
Right.
Nothing.
Exactly.
Happened. He said, you know, right. He said, for the very first moment, my boss kind of looked at me with this new, like, what? What'd you say? Like, because it caught him off guard. But then right. He said, you know, he explained why the answer was no and why it was clearly something he couldn't deliver right then. And his boss said, okay, that makes sense. I'll find someone else. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Like, it was just over. And I was like, wow. You
know, yeah.
We have this idea of what's going to happen. Our fear paints a picture and it's almost always completely wrong.
Yeah. And you don't need to go crazy with that either. It's not about pissing off your boss and getting the reputation for being the angry engineer, right? The one that's always saying no, or the only one that's always giving unrealistically conservative estimates, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Project-based work is always, you're always building a new one of a kind, right? Mm-hmm. You don't go and build the same bridge twice. You don't build the same computer software twice the same way. Otherwise, you just need to copy-paste, right?
Mm-hmm.
The reason you're there is because you can't just copy-paste. So it's always a one of a kind.
Where else would you aim someone to, as they're building their engineering career and looking for the places that drive us into that frustration or burnout? So saying no is a great one. What other pearls of wisdom do you have for somebody who's in that place?
Don't half-ass it, maybe. I don't know. I've never been the kind of engineer that was okay cutting corners, right? You don't need to go overboard and do what some call gold plating either, right? Which is to put way too much detail more than anybody cares for. I like to feel good about what I've built. If you don't feel like you're doing a good job at what you're meant to be doing, then why are you doing it? Of course, you're going to feel bad,
totally.
Right? I can't think of why else you would feel bad. It's either that or you just have too much pressure. A lot of engineers also maybe have trouble with anxiety. When you're very smart, sometimes you're able to understand situations in so much more precision of everything that could go wrong that you worry about all the details, right? Like let's say you're making a bridge. Well, you're going to know the 65 different reasons why that bridge could fall that no one, you know, would have a clue when they're driving through it, right? And so maybe now all of a sudden, every time you're on a bridge, you start freaking out, right? And it's just your mind going on overdrive and analyzing. And so there's learning how to deal with that is good. You know, meditation is good as a way of quieting the mind, learning how to do that well. Exercise is great. That, again, just helps you settle, right? And just being a little bit balanced, you know, go out, walk in nature.
Yeah.
Right now with COVID, I mean, from what I know, most companies that are doing any kind of engineering, people are working from home and they're staying that way even after COVID. And I think a lot of the reason for that is that people have figured out that without their boss breathing down their neck every morning, they're able to do their job and find that better work-life balance, and no one wants to give that back.
Yes. Diego, how do you, when you think about work-life balance in your own journey, what does that mean to you? It's a phrase that's really thrown around a lot. Everybody wants better work-life balance. What does that even mean, or what's it look like in your world?
I meditate and exercise in the mornings. That comes to me before everything else. I have my kids part of the time, so when I have them, I like to enjoy that, right? And so, for example, Wednesday afternoons, I don't work. I mean, I'm the boss. I can do that, right? Yeah, I spend them with my kids. That's really mostly it. You know, then normally on a weekend day, I also, Brooke and I like to pick a day that we just absolutely don't do any work, right? I would say the meditating and exercise is probably the absolute minimum.
The non-negotiables for you.
Yeah, because after that, I have energy to do everything else. I'm more productive that way.
Yeah. I want to go back. Another thing that you've said before that really struck me was how seriously you take your energy and just how you show up, this idea of your presence, your intention, moment to moment. And as the CEO of a large and growing organization, you see managing your own energy and state as one of the most important things that you do as a CEO. Yeah. Can you describe that, how you came to that place, to just what it looks like, and why energy before something like strategy or tactics or leadership, these other words that get thrown around, like energy? Talk to me about that.
Everything that you create, you're a creator when you're a manager, right? Or you're an engineer or any of these things. You're creating things. And everything is going to have a blueprint of how you feel. If you're pissed off at your boss, the output is not likely to be as good. It just isn't. It's likely to take longer and so on. And so the same thing maps for me. For example, I mean, maybe it becomes more obvious when you do sales, and that's where it started, right? Like in what I do a lot of sales. I talk to a lot of customers, especially new potential customers. Mm-hmm. I learned before that if I wasn't in a good state of mind, customers were not really likely to want to work with me, right? Like if I come across as pissed off or upset about something, then in a way, sales is a transfer of excitement, right?
Yeah.
I can only get you excited about something that I'm already excited about. Like if I tell you, hey, look, you want to buy an Apple Watch? And I'm all excited about it. I'm not going to be like, yeah, I have an Apple Watch. You should buy one too, right? That's a terrible, no one's going to be excited about that. And so you got to be excited in order to sell or be effective at it and be able to transfer that excitement, right? Yeah. You also can't, unless you're okay being this a dishonest person, which I'm not, and most of us are the same way, you can't really sell something you don't believe in, right? Let's say that you work in a company that does something you don't believe in, or you're selling something that you don't believe in. The customer sees it. It's like, you don't believe this shit. Your body language is saying, you don't believe this shit.
Yeah.
Why should I, right?
Yeah.
Get out of my face. You know, you're not even honest here in telling me what you really feel about this product, right? Everyone has a smell for that. So you're not good at selling something that you don't believe in. Mm-hmm. And similarly, you're not good at doing something that you don't believe in or something you are not excited about. So that's why it's important for you to get in your own state of mind where you're able to feel good and be happy before you actually take any action. And so whatever actions you're going to take throughout the day, they're going to be infused with that. It's almost like having an extra battery pack in there. You're going to be able to get more done. You're going to be able to do a better job at it. When you are in a leadership position, your people are going to be more excited to do their job every day when they see that you're excited and you believe in it, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. And that's why it's just obvious to me, but maybe it's not obvious to everybody, but it's how else would you do this and be effective?
I wish that you had come along in my career 10 years ago and I had somebody tell me this. I can't recount the number of times that I let a situation or another person or my own self-manufactured pressure and anxiety about performance put me into a negative state of mind, a negative energy, and then just plow through the day in that state. And to your point, looking back, it's easy to see they were ineffective. I negatively impacted the people around me in the workplace. I think about Zig Ziglar's old quote, positive thinking doesn't make all your problems go away, but positive thinking gives you a better output than negative thinking will every time. And so let's still go to that place. You know, I definitely did not know that when I was a young engineer. State of mind as a priority before you get into action consistently allows you to get more done, do better work.
Maybe another analogy is, I mean, if you're an athlete, let's say that you're going into, I don't know, the Olympics or something, and you're a runner, right? You're not going to try and do the race with a hangover. And you're also not likely to do well when, let's say, something really terrible happens to you that really brings you down. I mean, and you saw, for example, in the Olympics, there was that whole thing with Simone Biles, for example, right?
Yeah.
That she was not in the right state of mind. And she knew that she wasn't going to be able to perform. That's why she just, you know, bowed out.
Yeah.
Right? So similarly, right, I mean, for us, we're not able to perform our job as effectively for ourselves and for everyone around us if we're not just happy. I mean, this is why you call your podcast The Happy Engineer, not The Angry Engineer, right?
That's right. That's right. Absolutely. The thing is, I'm yet to find somebody whose actual authentic goal is to be an angry engineer, for one. But also, unfortunately, Diego, I have found that it's somewhat rare to find truly happy, you know, folks in our discipline because of some of the things you described, you know, the anxiety, the pressure, the living in our engineering mind all the time and not finding that other side of ourselves, learning how to tap into these things. So it's a really important conversation. Before we wrap, I am curious, are there any favorite resources or tools or books or things that you recommend for your team at work or for engineers that you meet to help them in terms of their development and growth or anything that really served you along your journey that you would recommend people to look at?
Just going to more general advice, something else that might be important is not everybody's supposed to be a manager. You know what I mean? You're not supposed to be also the next Elon Musk either. Sometimes it's perfectly okay to just be really good at being a really good engineer. There's nothing wrong with that. And you can make really top dollar with that too.
Yeah.
But, you know, it depends. I think you'll just find your own way. I mean, the stuff that, I don't give it to my people or anything like that, but I find that just anything more like spiritual, not religious, but more spiritual. Like I like a lot of the Eckhart Tolle stuff or...
Yeah.
Totally. I like a lot of Buddhism, like Alan Watts and stuff like that, learning how to meditate. I think some of these things are relatively, how can I say, compatible with just about any kind of religious beliefs. And they can help you find that peace. That works for any kind of career, I think. It's just for engineers, you know, we have such a big brain that we are very much in our mind and we want to solve it like an engineering problem.
Yeah, totally. So if you're going to invest, you know, even more time into development, don't over-index on more of that analytical thinking. You know, focus on developing that other side of yourself, the soul
simpler.
And spirit. Yeah.
Like take a walk out in nature once a day.
Yeah. I love that.
You know?
You don't need another book. Take a walk.
Exactly. That's... Don't read a book while you're out on your walk. Yeah. Okay. Just actually do the walk. Right. I have a beautiful neighborhood right here. You know, it's like, there's lots of nice trees and front yards that people have.
Yes. I am so guilty of this, Diego. You know, I'd have a break and instead of actually taking a break, I want to listen to another podcast, which, you know, here I am recording one. So, yeah. You know, I was like, I hope the engineers listening realize like, this isn't the most important thing. Feel free to turn off this podcast and go for a walk. You have Diego's permission and mine right now. But yeah, it's like always wanting to just keep feeding the intellect. Because it's a strength of mine and it's a strength of the engineering leader who's listening and it's working.
Right.
Yeah. So I love that.
It does work for a lot of things. Just don't use it to try and make it your step two, not your step one.
Oof. There you go. I love that. Well, I want to wrap this up and thank you again for your time and your generosity, Diego. And I mean, we could go for days with wisdom I've heard, you know, from you and your stories, but I always get curious at the end here around questions and great engineering. It's like great coaching. The questions lead, answers follow. And if we want to get better answers, we want to ask better questions. So if there's an engineering leader out there who's been, you know, listening to this chat and they want to get more of that connection to happiness and the joy in their life and have the both, you know, get the results as well. What would be a question that you would lead them with today?
Why are you an engineer? Ask yourself that. Why are you an engineer? I mean, it's very simple. But with that, you're going to find a lot of answers as to where you're going to get that happiness, regardless of how good or bad your boss is and everything else.
Amazing.
It'll help you find that joy in doing just a good job at what you're doing.
Why are you an engineer? I hope everyone out there takes some time to sit with that question today. And Diego, if somebody wants to maybe they need $1 million website, so they want to talk to you about business, or they just want to, you know, connect or follow the amazing, you know, work and life that you have. Is there a place that someone can follow Diego and or connect?
I guess you could find me on LinkedIn. I don't really use my Twitter much. Once in a while, I post something there. Those are probably good places. That's pretty much it. I mean, what I have is too specific to kind of do more like a general pitch about it. But what we do is we basically implement websites for large companies. Like I mentioned, we specialize in some web content management software, specifically some tools called Sitecore. We're probably the best shop out there to do that kind of thing. And that's pretty much it.
So for those who understand that, which I know in our audience is a high percentage, more than most, and that fits what you need in life, connect with Diego and their team, but also just a tremendous leader and someone that I'm sure you would never regret connecting to. So reach out on LinkedIn. We'll put the links in the show notes at oasisofcourage.com. And Diego, thanks again for your generosity and the time today. It's been awesome to have you on the show, man.
Thank you, Zach. Thanks for the opportunity.
This episode has been brought to you by Massive Action and Decisive Leadership. Okay. No, those are not companies you can just buy success from, but they are qualities you must master if you want to build your career and balance your life. So to help you out, I'm offering my most popular ebook, 49 Things You Must Do to Accelerate Your Engineering Career, for free on our homepage at oasisofcourage.com. If you will take action on just one of these simple tips each week, I promise you will experience a whole new level of results in the coming year. The problem is that we make everything too complex. Success at work is not rocket science. I mean, you might actually be a rocket scientist, and yet you're not getting the success you desire. One engineering senior manager told me that taking action on tip 34 by itself helped him feel happier at work and allowed him to start spending more quality time with his kids. To get your free copy of the ebook, just visit oasisofcourage.com, scroll down to the bottom of the homepage, and click download now. While it's just you and me for a minute, let's unpack some of the philosophy of this really powerful conversation with Diego and put it into action. I have been so blessed every time I get to talk with Diego Rebocio. He has such a unique perspective versus many of the engineering leaders who I have met and talked to over the years at all levels. But Diego brings a certain groundedness to his life, the energy, that calm, that peace and confidence, and certainly came through a lot of experience and a lot of ups and downs. But I want to take what might have seemed, you know, useful and interesting, but a bit philosophical and in our heads, and give you four really simple, practical applications of how you can put this conversation into action. Number one, celebrate the success you already have. I really appreciated Diego's reminder that you are in one of the highest paying fields in the world as an engineering leader. And you worked incredibly hard to get here. You've already reached a point just by being an engineer that you make more than enough money to be very happy financially. A good percentage of the world would kill to trade places with you. Not that it's a comparison at all, but just remember how far you've come and do something to celebrate that. Let me be really specific. When I say do something to celebrate that, I literally mean do something. Don't nod in agreement with me as you're listening to this podcast. I want you to make plans to celebrate the success in how far you've come in life. Go to your favorite restaurant. Order that bottle of wine that you've never, you know, splurged on before. Do something intentional for the sole purpose of celebrating the success you already have. Include your family. Invite some friends. Make it a meaningful celebration. This is so important that when we celebrate, it's got to be bigger than just a little nod, a little yes, and then on to the next goal. Classic engineering move. We set a huge goal. We hit it. And then we go right on to the next thing. Well, I want you to realize that you have already hit some huge goals in your life just by being an engineer and listening to this conversation today. So take some time and go celebrate that success. I'd love to hear what you do. Shoot me a note, zach@oasisofcourage.com. I'd love to hear about your celebration. Number two, say no to something that you know, K-N-O-W, needs a no. Say no to something that you know needs a no. Just ask yourself honestly, what is that thing you've been saying yes to that has been a huge problem? It's causing all sorts of frustration. It's overwhelming and overloading you. Or you know that it's not aligned with the strategy and the vision of what needs to happen. It's not a priority. It's not moving the needle. Go say no to that thing. If a senior leader is asking for something that you already are certain cannot happen for whatever reason, say no. Provide that justification. Let them know that you are a team player. You do want to succeed, but that this is a no. I think Diego's example was so powerful that when we say yes to things that are completely unrealistic, things that we don't have any belief in, that is a huge, huge disservice to yourself and the organization. You're not doing anyone any favors by staying up all night, working all weekend, and you know, busting your chops for something that you are already certain isn't going to work. Go say no and have the courage to draw that boundary. A no creates contrast, and contrast allows for clarity. Now we can have a real conversation, right? If somebody disagrees with your no, we can talk about it. Consider that the beginning of a common ground negotiation, understanding each other and really getting a sense of clarity on what's next. So task number two, I want you to look at your life, any area, could be work or it could be something outside of work, and go say no to something that you know needs a no. Number three, go build something. You're engineers. There's a part of you that is wired to build stuff, to be creative. You may have that opportunity in front of you in your job right now and just double down and lean in and be like a child again. Be that young, excited, passionate engineering version of yourself again. Or you may need to choose something outside of your core job to tap back into that part of you that loves to build stuff. Go explore, get creative, be inventive, learn something new, have some fun, break some things. Go build something. Set aside time and go enjoy being an engineer again. And last action I want you to take. Number four, go take a walk. Take a walk. Get away from the work. Get out of your office. Get out of your home office and take a walk. And do me a favor, don't listen to another podcast episode, even if it's The Happy Engineer. I mean, I love that you're a listener here and I appreciate you and I respect you, but I want you to take a walk without any inputs. Just observe things. Take a walk and enjoy it. Take a walk and observe. Notice as many things as you can, down to the tiniest details. Use 100% of your focus and your mind to simply observe and notice your surroundings. Notice what you see. Take note. Be like a scientist and observe. Take it all in. Allow yourself that break from constant inputs, constant learning, constant stress and anxiety about the things that we need to get done. Take a walk with the freedom and permission to do nothing other than walk. Enjoy it. Have some fun. Let me know how that goes for you. For some people, this is the breath of fresh air and the sigh of relief that they've always needed. For others, it can be a little stressful that first time because your brain is hungry and trying to go down those same pathways that it always goes down. Why am I not searching for the next thing to do? Why am I not checking my email? Why am I not listening to something productive? Why am I not scrolling on Facebook or Instagram? I'm challenging you to shut off all those things. Go for a walk and just observe. And hey, that's a great time for us to end this podcast. So if you are walking and listening to this right now, you can turn it off and enjoy the rest of your time outside. For all of you, I appreciate you. I love you. I hope that you continue to crush comfort and create courage in the journey of your career and life. We're here to help here at Oweko, here at the Happy Engineer Podcast. And share again any questions that you want us to dig into in our future Q&A episodes with Zach at oasisofcourage.com. And until next time, let's do this. My friend, that's all we've got for this episode of the Happy Engineer Podcast. Thank you again for investing your time with me today. If you're like me, then maybe you'll take some notes and share this episode with your fellow engineers. Why? Because it will help you learn deeper, remember these insights, and take action. So share this episode with two or three friends just like you who are committed to building their career. Lastly, make sure to link up with us at oasisofcourage.com. Grab our free tools for career growth there in the Resource Hub, and schedule a free call with our coaching team today. Please just share this podcast with anyone who you think might enjoy it. Until next time, remember to crush comfort, create courage, and let's do this.